It's always good to see one another. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Yes. And well, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever felt like you've let God down? That you've let the Lord down in some form or fashion? That maybe the way that you handled a situation, that you kind of did it in a more of a flesh way than in the spirit? Maybe you've come to a place in your life where you got some things that just you didn't take care of, and you just kind of felt like you just kind of let God down on some of those things, and you're like, man, I was at the restaurant, and I just don't know why I didn't pray. I felt the pressure of people looking at me, and I didn't pray, and I knew the Lord wanted me to pray in public, and I didn't do it. Or a time when you was able to share the gospel, and you just kind of shrunk back from it, and you felt really bad about when you walked away. And I think that's a common thing for believers. When we feel like we let God down, there's a weight there. And then we feel like that God's not going to use us, and we feel like we're unworthy to be used sometimes. And sometimes we just kind of drift away from God because we just feel like that we've done enough that we've just offended Him, and that we've let Him down enough that God's not going to use us anymore. We're going to share a story tonight. We're going to work through a piece here tonight. We went through the whole Holy Week there with everything going on from Palm Sunday to the midweek to Good Friday to Easter, and that great celebration of Easter. But we're going to talk about Peter here, because Jesus has died, was crucified. He died there. He was buried in the tomb and resurrected. And then He shows Himself a few times here to the disciples, and a couple of times. But this one here is going to be a little different, because there's some things that's happened with Peter during this time of that whole night from the Passover to when they had that meal to the time when he was arrested and through the time that he was crucified. And Peter's got some things going on in himself, and I believe the other disciples do too. There was a time when Jesus was being arrested and the disciples, they all ran off because they all ran away. Jesus knew they were going to run away. Peter cuts the servant's ear off, and the Lord puts it back on and heals him. And so Peter follows the crowd, the arresting crowd, and he ends up around this fireplace, and he denies the Lord. He denies knowing Jesus three times, and the fact that him and Jesus' eyes locked on together, and he says, I don't know him. And the scripture says, and he heard the rooster crow, and he just ran off, and he just broke down, and he broke down crying and weeping, and basically I'm sure he felt unworthy. His life has been turned upside down. He's probably thought, man, I've done all these things and seen Jesus do all these things, and now I'm done. And we're going to pick it up here because I want to remind you today that when you think you're done, you're not done. In John chapter 21, we're going to dive into this morning. If you have your Bibles, we'll turn there, but we're going to pray. Father, Lord, open our hearts and our ears up today that we may hear and see what you'd have for us, but open ourselves up, our spirit, that we may dissect this, Lord, to help us, because we, all of us, have come to a place where we felt like that we've let you down. We pray, Father, today that you would just inspire and encourage us, Lord, and call us to yourself and draw us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to read through here, John chapter 21. It says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. This is the way he reveals himself. So we have about eight disciples. We have eight disciples that are there. There are eight of the 12, but we know Judas has hung himself. So there's 11. We don't know where the other three are, but we see these. It has a list of them right there. And Peter is the main character here. In this piece here, verse 3 says, here it is. Peter is a leader. He is a leader. People follow leadership. And let me just tell you, people don't just follow good leadership. People follow bad leadership. Okay? And here it is. Peter, he says this one thing. Nobody knows what to do. He says, I'm going fishing. I like that tone of going fishing because I like to fish. But this is, I'm going fishing because I really don't know what else to do. I'm going fishing because I'm going back to what I used to do. Verse 3, he says, I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. So he's talking to the seven. He says, I'm going fishing, fellas. I'm going fishing. We're coming with you, they said. They told him. They went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Here they are. There's eight disciples. We got them all together. They're there. They're on this boat. And they just went back to what they normally used to do. They were doing all this great ministry with Jesus. They were his disciples, learning all that. They've seen Jesus a couple times. They just can't put it all together. Here it is. And they just decided, you know what? I'm going to go back to what we used to do. This is what we used to do. We used to be really good at it. Every time I see these guys fish on their own, they're never really good at it. And here it is. They go out and they go fishing and they catch nothing. But I want to tell you, they weren't even thinking about fishing. They were there in the boat fishing, but they weren't thinking about it. They were thinking about all those times that they've had with Jesus, and they kept coming back. They were thinking about the good times. They'd seen the miracles, all this, but there was something that was overshadowing everything. Man, I'd really let him down in the end. I'd let him down. I abandoned him. And none more than Peter. None more than Peter. It's one thing to deny you know somebody at a distance. It's another thing to say, oh, no, I don't know that guy. I don't know that guy. But when you lock eyes on someone, you say, no, I don't know him. And that's what he did. So they're out there. I mean, I'm going to tell you, this night had to have been a long night. Because that's what weight does. Weight and distress and being down and discouraged, it just makes it makes the nights go long. You don't sleep much. And here it is, they're fishing, but they're not catching anything. Nothing to even keep them going. It doesn't even really say they had much conversation. But verse 4 says, when daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was changing forms at these times. And he would reveal to himself when he wanted to reveal himself to those individuals. And here it is. Jesus at the daybreak, he's there. Okay? He's there. He's on the shore. And here's what happens. He calls them friends. He says, friends, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered. This is bringing us back to probably the book of Mark when Jesus first calls the disciples, Peter and some of the other disciples that were fishermen, James, John, some of those guys, and they were there fishing. And he calls them friends then too. And here it is that he is calling them friends and he says, no, they haven't caught any fish. I'm just thinking, are these guys having a flashback yet? He says, cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you will find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. And the disciple, the one who Jesus loved, that'd be John, said to Peter, it's the Lord, dude. We've been here before. We've been here before. When Jesus first called him, that's what they were doing, fishing, and they weren't catching anything. And he says, try on the other side. And they do, and they haul in this, and they're like, what? And the Bible says they dropped their nets. And here we see this piece now that Jesus is getting their attention. And John says, it's the Lord, man. It's the Lord. Now, their all minds are spinning. Their minds are all spinning. But when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he tied the outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off, and he plunged into the sea. He just jumped into the sea. He's going toward Jesus. I got to get toward him. I got to get toward this, because this is what's bugging. This is what's tearing Peter apart. And so he jumps into the water. He plunges into the water. But you and I both know that there's also a story where Peter steps out of the water and walks on the water towards it. Peter is always wanting to get to Jesus. And that should be us. Once again, Peter is the one that gets out of the boat. Doesn't care. Hey, he didn't get to walk on water this time, but he plunges into the water. Everybody else is still in the boat. They're going to haul that fish back. But Peter jumps into the boat. His faith is being, he's all over the place right now, but he plunges in there. He plunges into the water, steps out of the boat. Flashback coming back to the time when he walked on the water. I'm sure Peter was thinking, man, when I took my eyes off of Jesus, man, I sunk into the water. There's so many times that Jesus would say, hey, Satan, get behind me. When he had that moment, there were so many times that Peter probably felt, man, I just can't get it. I can't get it together. I can't keep it together for God. Let me just tell you, you can't keep it together with God and without Jesus. Okay. And Peter had him, but he was struggling. And so Peter jumped into the water, and since they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. So they were there, but they were coming along. And they get on land, and they have this moment where they have some breakfast there. There's some fish there. Jesus has some things there. But now we're around in a circle. If you're not... When you are down and out and you are discouraged, I'm going to tell you, your voice inside you is pretty loud. You have a lot of conversations that don't make sense, but you turn around and make sense of what don't make sense. And in our flesh, we're always calling ourselves a loser. We're always calling ourselves unworthy. We're always calling ourselves, oh, I'm not fit to serve. Oh, I don't know if I can do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. It's always the things that would tell us what we can't do for the Lord. Jesus is coming here to reinstate Peter. Because Peter needed that. Peter needed to know that the Lord trusted him. He felt like he lost it all. He lost it all. So he's going to bring Peter to a place where he is a place of trust again, and put him back on the right piece. And this is what Peter needs right here. This is exactly what Peter needs. It's getting ready to happen. It's a conversation with the Lord. And I want to tell you, for me, man, I went through times like this. No matter what I did, it wouldn't fix it. No matter where I went, it wouldn't fix it. No matter how many worship services I went to fix it, nothing would fix it until I got in front of the Lord. You have to get in front of Jesus, and you have to listen. He already knows what's going on. I'm going to tell you, when you start praying to the Lord and you start talking about what's going on, and you say, Lord, you pray that for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, the Lord will speak to you. We just have to learn to be good listeners, give moments of pause, some silent moments. The Lord will speak, and He has much to say. And when you're going through those hard times, it is what we need to is get before the Lord. And this is what's happening. It says here in verse 14, this was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. This is the third time. This was a special moment here. Remember, one of those moments was with Thomas. I'm not going to believe it until I see the scars and the holes. I'm not going to believe it until I touch him, and I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Thomas had his own issues. I don't know why we call him the doubting Thomas. It's really a bad title, because we're all doubt. We all doubt from time to time. We all struggle with our faith. We wrestle with our faith. We kind of label, I think it's a pretty bad label that we put on him. I'm probably thinking that some of the guys were thinking it. But he was actually saying it. So they were having hard moments after Jesus' resurrection, even when He was showing Himself, because they didn't know what to do with it all, and they knew that they all had ran from the Lord in the time of the arrest, and they felt like they were just, you know when you have done something you shouldn't have done. But Jesus told them, that's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. But here He is. The conversation is getting ready to happen. This intimate conversation. Jesus is not talking. What we see here, I'm sure He talked to the other disciples, but this is what God gives us. This is what we need to learn today right here. 15. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now I want to tell you, it would be sometimes when you ask someone, do you love me? You know, you say, do you love me? Yeah, well, yeah, of course. If I ask my wife, do you love me, hon? Yeah, I love you. It might be jokingly, there's more days than others or what, but we get the gist of it, that we know that when we know people and we ask them, hey, do you love me? It should be, yeah, I love you. I love you. Yes, I'm working. Yes, I love you. And so we see this piece here that he says this. And he asks this, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter said. He said to him, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. But there's still this tension. Not between Jesus and Peter, but Peter with his own issues. And Jesus says simply, feed my sheep or feed my lambs. Now there is a difference between lambs and sheep, right? Lambs are full grown and sheep is full grown and lambs are what? Little ones, right? We see scripture, I just believe that we see scripture where God is real, Jesus really talks about the children and young. And here he says, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my lambs. What is he saying in this first moment? What is he saying? This is the doorway. Like, I'm not done with you. You see, when we're thinking the negative and we're thinking we're down and out, we're thinking, God's done with me. I'm going back to fishing. Here it is. Jesus says, yeah, no, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my lambs, which means this is the ministry that Jesus already told him he would be doing. He said, feed my lambs. Right now, I think that really that Peter is still stuck on, do you love me? And Jesus is like, dude, you should know I love you. But here it is. I want you to feed my lambs. Okay? Which means take care of them. I want you to take care of them. I want you to feed the lambs. I want you to feed the lambs. And a second time he asked him, Simon, son of John. Now, it's very important when they say that. And I said, Jesus is really getting Peter's attention. Simon, son of John. I know who your dad is, son of John. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus is really pulling Peter in. But Peter has to understand and know that he knows Jesus loves him, but he's getting him, pulling him in, getting that restoration that Peter needs. But he calls him by his old name, Simon. Remember, he said, your name will, you know, be Peter, but Simon, son of John. He goes back and he says, listen, do you love me? I know sometimes when you're a kid, you get in trouble and you say, hey, you know, they call you by your official first name and your middle name, and you know it's serious business, right? This is here's serious business. And he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord. He said, you know that I love you. And then Jesus says this, shepherd my sheep. What? Shepherd my sheep. Means take care of the flock. It means to shepherd, take care of them, shepherd the people. He's restoring him to the leadership piece. He's saying, listen, this is who you are. This is what I want you to do. I want you to shepherd the people. I want you to shepherd the sheep. Shepherd them. Shepherd the sheep. Shepherd the sheep. I believe that Jesus is trying to have a conversation with a lot of believers today. Some of us just like the world too much and we're doing what we want to do in the world, but others we just feel like, oh, we're not worthy of it. Why would God call me to anything? Listen, you know when I know that there's kind of I'm not 100% always know, but in spirit, you know what I'm just saying? When somebody comes to me and say, hey, I really feel like the Lord's calling me into this area, whatever, when they get cocky, real cocky out the gate, I just kind of let it go over. It's the people who are more like, oh my gosh, I can't, I think God has called me to something that's way bigger than myself. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what to do, but I know he's calling me. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're in the right area. You're in the right area. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, but you're still there in that feeling because you're afraid to take the next step. But it's in that area where God is calling you to go into an area because he wants you to go in where you have to trust him, not because you have all the talents and the gifts to go into it. No, because when you do that, then you're doing it all on your own. But when you don't have it and you are kind of nervous about it and you're like, I don't understand why God would call me to do something. I don't understand why God would push me into a direction I would feel uncomfortable about. I know nothing about what he's trying to push me into. This is exactly the areas where God is exceptional at. This is how he uses us. He pulls people that don't know anything about anything and puts them into things where he's going to build them and use them and gift them. And they're going to do great and mighty things. And the first step is always faith. It's obedience. And I would always say humbleness with humility. When people come in and think, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to be this. I've seen them come, and I've seen people come and go. And some of them, people just want to talk about ministries and things. And when you want to do it all on your own, then do it on your own. You're not going to get far. This is how the Lord does it. The Lord allows you to, sometimes he breaks you down to build you back up. Amen. And God's not worried about all your emotions sometimes. Sometimes he lets you cry. Sometimes he's going to build you back up. And he said, do you love me? He says, yeah. He says, I love you. He says, and I want you to shepherd my sheep. I want you to spend time. Listen, if you're going to feed my lambs, you're going to shepherd my sheep. Listen, you can't do. You got to be done with fishing, dude. You went back to fishing. You went back to fishing. That's not the first time. People do it all the time. They start going to church. They get involved. Then they go back to doing what they were doing. But then he goes, he asks, he's going to do it a third time. And he asked him the third time, Simon, son of John. He uses that same title again. Do you love me? Now, there's some differences in the word love there, but I'm looking here at this piece here, without getting all into, I'm looking at Peter here today. Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time. He was grieved. He was kind of hurt that Jesus asked him a third time. Do you love me? He says, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. This is where now Peter gets, now he's just opening up. He says, you know everything. You know everything. And you know that I love you, man. You know that I love you. And then he said, Jesus says, feed my sheep. What is he doing all three times? He says, you get back. Basically, what he's doing in three times in a nutshell, get back to ministry. Get out of that boat and get back into ministry. I love you. Let's go. I love you. I'm just asking you, if you love me, you need to get back into that ministry. You need to get out of that boat and get back into that ministry. And then Jesus has a little bit of a piece. He says, truly, I tell you. And if we just make it personal, he says, truly, I tell you, Peter. When you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands. And someone else will tie you and carry you where you do not want to go. And the writer John puts it like this. And he said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. That Peter would also be crucified in the future. And tradition says, I'm unworthy to be crucified right side. Just turn me upside down. Wow, what a difference in that day. The future than this day today here where he says, I love you. You know that I love you. And Jesus has given him four commands. Feed my lambs. Man, feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. And then he goes to this last piece. He says this. After saying this, Jesus says this. Follow me. What does that mean, follow me? That means Jesus is going ahead of us, right? He's telling Jesus, I'm going to go ahead of you and you follow me. And the scriptures tells us back in Mark, it tells us in the other gospels that when they were called the first time, that they dropped their nets and they followed Jesus and followed them, and they followed Jesus. Listen, we have to follow Jesus in the good times and the bad times. Jesus is not interested in just using you for a moment. When Jesus died on the cross and we received that salvation, it was for eternal life. My life does not belong to me anymore. It takes a while to figure that out, and takes a while to understand that, and still growing in that area. But when you realize that your life doesn't belong to you, look out, and you accept it, God will use you in areas that you would not even understand or even could fathom. Look at the great men and women that God used. Most of them were nobodies. I mean nobodies. And God turned them around and made them into great instruments for His kingdom and His kingdom purposes. But here it is. Jesus is saying, get out of the boat. Get out there and feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep and follow me. We are not done until we're done. We don't have the we don't have that choice to go back and do what we used to do. We don't want to go back. I don't want to go back and do what I used to do. I want to follow the Lord in all the ways, and it costs. I need to give up my life. I need to follow Him. I need to be obedient. I need to listen. I need to be ready for whatever He calls me to do. But it's worth it, because He gave His all so that I might have it all. And let me tell you, folks, it isn't having an abundant life down here. Yes, God can bless, but it's about having the abundant life in heaven. And being with the Lord. And all that He has, all He has there, where nothing is rusted, nothing deteriorates, it's all good, it's all perfect. But we live in an imperfect world, and God uses imperfect people, and He saves those people. And those people He uses for His work, His purposes, and to do whatever He's called that individual to do. And I truly believe that where too many of us are sitting out there going back to what we used to do, are feeling that we're in a place where God cannot use us. If we can say that our salvation is a miracle, I would say that it's a miracle. We cannot save ourselves. We did not come. We may have been thinking about Christ, but Christ, God opens the door. He compels them and draws them unto Himself, to His Son. If that's a miracle, couldn't we say that just because we got a moment where we feel bad about what we've done, we feel insecure about where we are, and we drifted away, and we are doing something else, or just felt like that we've messed up so bad that God can't use us, you don't think that God can work that out too? Let's quit putting limitations on God. Let's quit thinking that we are so low that He can't reach down. The Bible says that God has a long arm. He can reach us wherever we are. And we are believers. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and He draws us unto Himself. What I'm saying here today in this piece here is that some of us are in a place where we're like Peter, that we felt like we've drifted from God, that we've done some things, and we're away from the Lord, and God's not going to use us anymore. Well, I want to tell you, no, that's not the truth. But I will tell you, you need to have a conversation with the Lord. And in that time of prayer, you need to pray. And sometimes we need to ask for forgiveness. Amen. Sometimes we need to ask for forgiveness. And sometimes we just need to get to a place where we just shout out to whatever is going on in our life, and we lay it out before the Lord. But I promise you this, every time I've done that, I always ended up, it turns. God gives me a moment to whine and cry. It's okay. He gives us a moment for it, but He's going to turn it. And He's going to take that conversation over, just like we saw here. He's going to take that conversation over. He may ask a couple of questions. He may speak into your life in a couple ways. But what is he doing? He's realigning you back into the will of the Lord. And in that will of the Lord, he has a plan for you. Let's quit trying to get on God to get on our plan. Let's get on his plan. And when we do that, we have to listen to what the Lord has. And the Holy Spirit gives us understanding of it. So don't say, oh, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Listen, the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, dwells inside of you and he's going to give you understanding. There's sometimes things are a little tough, but work through it. God doesn't have to give us all the answers in the moment. But God, I'm telling you, God, we need, some of us probably need to, are in a place where we just need to be restored in our walk with the Lord. And that takes time and prayer. That takes a moment when we pray. And I'm telling you, at the end of it, all of it, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up going back to where you're going to end up doing something that you haven't felt good about doing in a long time. You may sing, you may do this or that, whatever. You lifted hands up, but you feel like it's not working. Here it is. God's going to restore you to a place where your praises are genuine again. This is a sign when you know your walk with the Lord isn't where it needs to be, is when you can't even praise the Lord and feel good about it. When you've lost the joy of your praise, something's wrong. Peter's struggling. He's on the boat. Oh my gosh, hey, it's Jesus. Oh, I'm out here. I'm sulking. I'm upset. I don't understand it. Jesus, maybe he abandoned us. I don't know, but I abandoned him 3 times. Plus, I failed at the walking on the water and all the things. But as soon as he heard Jesus' name, he jumped in the water and went toward him. And we can keep doing that. We can keep doing that cycle, going back to the boat, jumping in the water, going to Jesus, jumping in the water, getting the boat, going back. But we have to have a conversation. It's not just being around Jesus. It's having the conversation. You have to have that conversation. If you're carrying hurt, and it's been a long time, and you listen, God doesn't want you to carry brokenness and hurt on a continuous basis. It's okay to be broken at times. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to have sorrow. But it shouldn't reign in your life. It shouldn't overshadow everything that God wants in your life. It's supposed to be the other way around, where God overshadows your sorrow and your brokenness. It's okay to be in a season for a moment, but don't let it run your life. And too many people, well, you don't know what I had. I lost a loved one. I went through a divorce. Those things are hard. Those things are tough. But I want to tell you that God says he will never leave you, never forsake you, and God can turn that whole thing completely around. Not that you get everything back and your people, whatever it is, but God will make your life better than you ever thought it could be. Let me remind you of something. God, Jesus, is in the restoring business still today. And some of you need to be restored because your relationship isn't right with him. Your joy, your worship is way off. You may sing it, you may lift a hand, but if it ain't right here, it ain't right up here. The only one that knows if your life is right with God is God, because God is God, but you. And you know. And I'm going to tell you, you think you can be stubborn, God can hold out. And some stubborn people, honestly, people can be stubborn and hard-hearted. And they die with that sorrow. They die with the brokenness. And they die with it. And they've been living with it, with that loss, for 20, 30, 40 years. Some of us need to jump out of the boat and swim toward Jesus and get it right. It's there on the beach where Jesus will have a conversation. And it'll be whatever it needs to be. Because the Lord is good. And He is good with conversation. He is good at restoring. He is awesome at forgiveness. But He's also good at blessings. He's also good in directions and callings and giftedness. He's just good. And I think when the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, I have come to give life and to give it more abundantly. That abundantly is that you have the joy, that you have the blessing, that you have the forgiveness, that you have the love. When no one else loves you, you know that you're loved. And all that He has for you. If you can understand what really God has given to you because you have salvation, it'll really blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. But some of us today probably need to get our lives and our spirits restored. The only way to do that is to run to Jesus. Father, Lord, we love You. But the question today was, do we love You? You asked Peter three times, do You love me? And Lord, we can act like it, we can say it, but the heart really speaks it. I pray, Lord, that we do here today. But Lord, even when we do love You, with all that we have, we also can be far away from You because something happened in life. And maybe we felt like we've done something bad, or we've let You down, and we come up short. We walked off the race. We walked off the track of life. Whatever it may be, I pray today that You would have Your will done here today in each one of our lives. For the one that doesn't know You, salvation is what they need. For the one that does know You, are we right with You? Your Spirit will tell us. And I pray, Father, that we would listen. We love You and we thank You. And this time we give to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and